Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's football season. Mike Mack, Dave Mona, Sid Hartman on his way in. Vikings win a lose a thriller yesterday to Jacksonville. Matt Burke is our leadoff man. It's always fun to talk to him about the issues and everything else pertaining to the NFL. Good morning, Matt. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. How are you?
Good. You know, yesterday they called, obviously, an inordinate amount of penalties right away, and they're trying to establish all these new rules and the way the game's going to be called. What's that like as a player to try to, you think, figure this out in this? You know, I mean, you've got Minnesota fans saying, hey, Jacksonville got screwed on that penalty. It's at that point as we watch these things. How do players adjust to this kind of thing?
Well, it's frustrating. I mean, especially because obviously there's a lot of gray area with this rule. Seems like every time the officials have a meeting with players and teams, that players come out of there just as confused or more confused as when they started. So, I mean, as a player, especially during training camp, you've got a lot going on. You're trying to make the roster. You're trying to build your team. You're trying to integrate new guys, new coordinators, whatever it is. And then you got to deal with this. So I think at the end of the day right now, you sort of shrug your shoulders and say, well, it's just preseason. And, you know, hopefully maybe they're just being overcautious or over officiating it right now. And once the regular season starts, the officials will err more on the side of not calling it. But it certainly is, I mean, I think it's a little bit of an embarrassment for the league, just yeah, because there really doesn't seem to be any type of consistency or clarity on what is a foul and what isn't with this new lowering the helmet rule.
And Matt, because of it too, the pace of the game was not existent yesterday. While Mike and I were talking, there might have been 5,000 people left at the 2-minute warning, but there were interminable conversations among officials, little huddles as to, yeah, you know, what the call was. And, you know, it had to be difficult for the guys on the field to maintain any sense of pace.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was really hard to watch. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to look at the big picture. Nobody's opposed to health and safety, that's for sure. But football is a physical game. And, you know, this rule, the way it is right now, it's got a ways to go before it's something I think that everybody can live with. But Dave, I don't blame the officials. You know, I blame just the way that this whole thing has been rolled out and the league. I mean, I think we understand the sentiment or the spirit of the rule is, you know, we want everybody keeping their heads up, and of course we do. Absolutely. 100% at all levels. But, I don't think that just the way that it's been tried to be implemented, it's very clear. And I think the officials are trying to figure it out too, exactly what the league office wants to do.
Yeah, and, you know, to an extent, you're playing a zero-minus game. If there's no injuries, then nobody gives you any credit for it. But when you have as many injuries as there were yesterday, too, nobody knows what to associate with. But, Matt, you're heavily involved, and you're a father of many. But when parents are looking at the, you know, should my kid play football or not, every time a guy goes down, I cringe because I say there's another parent going, oh, see, and I don't want to see that become that involved in the game. I don't want people to think, well, that's because it's the rules or, you know, things happen, and I don't want people to think that there's more bad than good just because there's injuries.
Yeah, no, and there certainly isn't, and, you know, that's a message that we need to get out there. I mean, injuries happen in all sports. It's just that's the nature of the beast. Doesn't matter if it's a very heavily contact sport like football or something like soccer or basketball. You know, I mean, things happen. You know, certainly kids need to be out there running around playing, doing something. And as far as the concussion thing goes, and, you know, of course, I think you always, ideally we would want zero concussions, but last year in the NFL, I think there was 39,000 tackle them to the ground plays in the league. And that's not counting preseason. Or maybe just kind of 39,000 plays, and there was 270 concussions. I mean, 39,000 plays, there's 22 guys on the field on every play, too. So,
yeah,
you know, you sort of have to. I mean, there's a story out there, but you also have to look at the facts. When it comes to youth football, the biggest thing is go watch youth football practice, get to know your youth football coach, and see how you feel about your son or daughter playing under those coaches' direction.
Matt, a couple of observations on the game yesterday. I'd like your thoughts on it. First of all, the Viking offensive line, obviously playing without a couple of starters and then having another injury there. How you thought they performed. And then one thing the Vikings really do well, I think, is recognizing and honoring people. I thought the Sperano ceremony before the game where his son came across the field and the family was there and people had played under him both sides. The video, I just thought that they did a superb job on that.
Yeah, no, they did. And, you know, I mean, even though a lot has happened and we've been talking a lot of football the last few weeks, it's still pretty fresh for a lot of people, certainly for Coach Sperano's family and even in the organization. And that was the right thing to do. And I mean, as far as from a football standpoint, you know, in training camp and in the regular season and in life, you know, you have good days and bad days. Last week in Denver, things probably couldn't have gone any better and feeling great about the team, and then after yesterday you're kind of thinking, okay, some of the problems that we thought we had certainly manifested themselves, but you know, you get up today and you approach it the same way as you would last week. You know, it's like, hey, we did some things well, did some things we didn't do well, let's look at it, let's coach it up, and let's have that mindset of we just no matter what, we have to get better. And you know, the O-line will sort itself out when guys come back, and certainly they're going to have one or two guys step up and fill the gap left by Easton's injury. But, you know, you just keep plugging. You just keep chopping wood and know that, I mean, that's what football is in August, is that mindset of we just have to get better every day.
You know, Matt, just explain in layman's terms, last year they had kind of a, I don't want to say it was a patchwork offensive line, but it's a lot of guys that hadn't played together before. They'd either signed Riley Reiff and Remmers, and of course Easton and Elfline worked their way in, and they had, by all counts, at least from the novice looking in, a pretty good year. What has to happen, and how difficult is that to have a good offensive line if you haven't played together much?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, like I tell people, you know, you hear about the chemistry and you want the linemen working together, and ideally you'd like to have the same five guys there starting in July and then play the whole season. And I always use the example of the year we won the Super Bowl. We had a guy go down, a starter go down last game of the year. And so we inserted Maxie, your all-time favorite lineman, Bryant McKinney.
Big Mac to the rescue.
And we moved, but we had to move two other guys around. So we basically went into the playoffs with three guys who playing either new positions or hadn't played at all that year. And we went out and won the Super Bowl. I mean, so, I mean, it can happen. It's just, I think it's just, you just have to have that mindset that, you know, if some injuries happen, nobody panics, you know. I mean, like we're a unit. You kind of don't blink when adversity strikes. Everybody just do whatever is needed of you for the unit and go out there and do the best you can. And yeah, we're scrambling a little bit up front, but you know, you got young guys. It's a great opportunity for one of them to step up and be a starter in the NFL. And if you can start and you can play well, then you can get a big contract and all that too. But you also get to be a starter on a Super Bowl caliber team. So there's a huge opportunity there. And if you're an athlete, if you're a professional athlete, you have to relish the opportunity that's there and you have to go seize it. And, you know, I think that that's what's going to happen. Someone's going to emerge and then you get the regular starters back and you got a lot of firepower in that offense. And I think things will be just fine.
Matt, appreciate it very much always. And I look forward to seeing you out there again this week.
Love it. Thanks, Maxie. Thanks, Dave.
All right. That's Matt Burke back with Volleyball Talk right after this. Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. We've got the opportunity to talk volleyball. Volleyball has become a bigger and bigger sport here at the University of Minnesota. This year's team, preseason ranking, fourth nationally, and oddly enough, third in the Big Ten. You got a tough conference that you play in, Hugh McCutcheon.
Yeah, morning. Yeah, it's an adventure, no doubt.
And next week, you started off at Target Center with the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Now, I talked to you earlier this week, and you said, great way to start. Set the standard up right away. Let's find out what we got. Bring on Florida State.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good tournament. Both Florida State and North Carolina are good teams. And we'll hopefully learn a lot this weekend.
Somebody asked me, and I didn't know the answer to this. I assume there are still some season tickets left. We're season ticket holders. We were there last year. It was essentially sold out virtually the entire season, maybe some individual tickets. For people who are interested, maybe have not been, do you know what the ticket situation is?
Yeah, I think there are still season tickets left. I think they've sold around 36 or 3,700, and I think they cap them around 4,000 because they want to keep some single ticket sales as well. So I think there are a few left, but it's becoming a tougher ticket these days.
You know, last year when we got Sid to that game, I saw something that I thought I would never see at volleyball, and he remarked that when he came in, there were people outside offering to buy and sell tickets. Now, you're used to that at some of the other events, but we have reached that point with women's volleyball at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a crazy phenomenon, no doubt.
Yeah. Hugh, looking at your roster again, I kind of familiarized myself with it the other day when we were out there, and I forgot how many great freshmen you had last year. What does that do to have a class like that that emerges so early?
Well, it's great, of course. You always hope that your incoming classes can hit the ground running, but that's exactly what they did last year. And, it means we've got all kinds of depth this year. Again, we've had another good year of recruits in 2018, and they're integrating as well. So we've got strong freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and of course a good senior class. So the depth has been a real strength of this team so far.
Hugh, how do you handle your rotations? Do you go into a game saying, I want to get 12 people on the court this particular game, or do you earn that in practice?
Absolutely, you earn it in practice, and we think that's a really important part of how we operate, this meritocracy. But the one thing that this depth provides us that I'm not sure that we've had in previous years is the opportunity to look at different lineups, play different people without there being, a big shift in the way we go about working. I think in past years, if we were in trouble, we'd make some changes. But there was probably a little risk involved there. I think this year it seems like we've got a few more interchangeable pieces, which might mean that we can rest some people, or we can do some things with the lineup we haven't had the luxury of doing before.
On another note, you're very involved in boys volleyball and bringing it to Minnesota. It took a major step this last spring with club volleyball, and they had high participation numbers, etc. And it's really fun to see you and Walt Weaver and others that in Shakopee, they're very much behind it, start pointing this in a direction, because it makes all the sense in the world in the spring when gyms aren't being used to have boys volleyball. Were you pretty satisfied with what you saw?
It was incredible, Mike. I mean, the response was so much greater than what I think either of us could have imagined. And I think it ended up being around 400 young men that signed up to play. And the most surprising statistic out of all of that, though, was I think out of that 400, I think 80% of them wouldn't have been playing a sport in the spring if volleyball wasn't being offered. And so the idea that we're getting young people off their phones and into a team environment, playing a team sport and doing all that stuff, getting physical activity, I thought it was really great. So, a phenomenal response, and, hopefully it continues to grow.
Three preseason All-Americans on the team. Talk about Seliger Swenson. Is there a better setter in the country?
I'm not sure. To me, there's things that Sam does that are pretty unique that other people that I think sets her apart. No pun intended. But there are, of course, good setters out there. But certainly if she's not the best, she's one of.
How is high school volleyball in the state of Minnesota? I know in the past, not only have there been great players come to Minnesota, but we seem to supply the rosters of a lot of competing teams.
Yeah, there's a lot of good volleyball in the state, which is one of the reasons why the boys volleyball makes a lot of sense, because I get it, it's the state of hockey, but you could make a case that it's a pretty good state for volleyball as well. So lots of good players, and of course we like the best in-state players to play at the U, but it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes they want to get out of the state and go somewhere different. We understand that. Other times, positionally, year to year, it doesn't line up. So But yeah, no shortage of talent here.
Well, and I tell you something, Hugh, you know this, but if anybody ever wants to really experience volleyball, you go to the convention center when they have that national tournament and they have the boys, men's, girls, and women's divisions, and you walk into this mass chaos and all the college coaches are there, et cetera. But it's amazing, isn't it, to see how many boys and girls talented volleyball players are in this area and in the country, because there's a lot of area schools in that.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Yep, there'll be a couple hundred courts going, and yeah, a lot of whistles, but.
A lot of whistles.
Hey, Hugh, we appreciate you joining us here on the eve of the start of what's going to be a really fun season. And we'll stay in touch during the season, because volleyball has done what Joe Maturi hoped for back when he hired Hebert and when he brought you in. I think it's become a major sport here in Minnesota.
Yeah, well, thanks. Anytime, gents. It's always a pleasure. All of this.
Thanks, Hugh.
All right, Hugh McCutcheon back with more right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. Mike, we've got the rarity of having about 3 minutes here. Later in the show, we're going to open the phone lines. I thought you and I would talk a little bit. Talk about the Twins for just a minute. Tyler Austin, interesting pickup. He's got 3 home runs so far, and I think everybody thought that Forsythe was just a salary match deal, and he's actually provided some nice play for the Twins.
Yeah, they're unbeaten every time he has 5 hits.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, I talked to him for a long time the other day. He's an interesting guy. He's a student of the game, kind of a classic. Yeah. Middle infielder that's played the position because he knows how to play the position kind of thing. So he maybe gives them a little room for pause next year as to how they want to go forward with it. And Austin obviously swings from his heels a little bit, does kind of what they're hoping Logan Morrison would do.
Yep.
Before he got injured. And I thought he was just a throw-in in the deal. And so you got to give it some time. But I got to tell you something else. Last night, that was quite a picture when Jack Morris, Dave Winfield, and Paul Molitor were all together before the game. The 3 St. Paulites gathered together. And then Joe Mauer, it's a leadoff home run. You know,
Joe Mauer?
The fourth St. Paul guy,
yeah.
From that Highland Park, Creighton, Lexington area. And that was pretty cool to see those three together and real 3 Hall of Famers like that. Yeah. So, yeah, they've got we'll talk to Cole Stewart, who's a fun interview, and he's one of those many that they're auditioning. But they've got a couple veteran players that are looking at there. I think the most impressive thing, or the most, if you're looking for optimism, has been Miguel Sano's. Yeah. He's starting to swing, and a little thunder there. Yeah, he strikes out a lot, but he's also hitting some home runs again.
Yeah, he seems to know the strike zone better, and yeah. He's clearly lost weight. I mean, mm-hmm. He looks so different in a uniform. You know, they picked up 2 guys. Fields, they sent out after the game last night. I have to admit, they picked up Drake, 5th team in Major League Baseball this year. He's kind of fun to watch. He's a funky relief pitcher.
Yeah, throws hard enough. And I was in that clubhouse the other day, and it's just amazing. I'm going, well, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. And you knew, you know, opening day, you get familiar with the roster, and it is just a collection of, you know, Urban Santana sitting over there. I thought they'd move him before through a waiver wire deal. I don't think they can do it now unless they
I don't think there's any
away.
Interest. Yeah, you're right. I mean, 87, 88 miles an hour, it's just not working. Why would a team take a chance on him? And there's so few pennant races. I mean, so many teams would have thought might be in the market for another player. Look around and said, I'm not going to do anything with my roster right now. I'm out of it. Kyle and I were talking before we went on, and you got a team that's Baltimore's 50 games out of first place.
But I'll tell you, the fun team, how Oakland does it is beyond me.
And they're coming in here
head to head with Houston, you know?
They're coming in here this week, and we were saying, if you covered up the name on top and showed somebody their 9-man roster, and they're like, only casual baseball, and said, name this contending baseball team, people would have no idea who you're talking
about. I don't know who half these guys are.
It's going to be
except
fun.
Except Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we got 2 more hours to go. Stick around, join us. We'll start with Cole Stewart, and that'll follow this Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.